Kyle? House Committee on Revenue for June 15, 2017 will come to order. Colleagues, ready to for a public hearing today is Senate Bill 123. Accordingly, we'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 123. Senator Riley? Kyle, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of this bill, and we'll get on with our public hearing? And there should be a sign-up sheet, isn't there?
Yes, Mr. Chair. It'll be coming up in okay. just 1 second. We'll see people signing up. Senate Bill 123B is a bill that would authorize the formation of a children's special district. So this would be a property tax district. And it also would give authorization for the district to assess, levy, and collect taxes to pay the cost of children's services that are within the boundaries of the district. The measure does include definitional terms. So for purpose of the special district, it defines children as individuals that are not more than 18 years old. And children's services are services that support children's total health and well-being that are provided to children outside of school hours. It does require a children's special district, if they dedicate any revenue of the children's special district, to be used for education services as determined in a final decision of a court, then the children's special district would be required to discontinue the project that is supporting education services and instead use the revenue for a project that doesn't constitute education services. And again, this is the important distinction on the Measure 5 property tax compression, whether it falls under the education category or the general government category. So in this case, if a court decides that the children's special district was providing services on the education side and subject to the education Measure 5 compression limits, they would have to no longer do so and redivert those funds to a non-education related program.
Great. Thank you. Senator Riley, welcome to the House Committee on Revenue. We sit with you in these other committees so much that we think we've gotten to know you quite well.
Well, and I used to serve on your committee a few years ago.
Few years ago, yes. Welcome back to the House.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Chuck Riley. I'm the senator from Senate District 15, which is Hillsborough, Cornelius, Forest Grove, North Plains, Roy, and Verbort. And a lot of farms. So this is a good district and one that deserves to have the opportunity to help children in out of school time, as all citizens in the state do have that right to have that opportunity, and I'm hoping to get that for them today. This bill is a fairly simple bill. We have lots of special districts in the ORS, which includes cemeteries and sand removal districts, among others. This one is an important one for the children of our state. One of the things that caused us to bring this bill is the when Governor Kitzhaber got rid of the Commission on Children and Families, we lost a lot of programs for our kids, especially our at-risk kids who can't afford to go to the expensive programs that are offered by Parks and Recs and so on. And I know there are scholarships for some, but it's not well advertised, and we want to be able to have all those kids have good activities, keep them off the streets, and well fed. In some areas, the kids who have free and reduced lunch don't have any lunches in the summer. And under the Children and Families Commission, we used to have a program to have summer lunches. That needs to come back. There are a lot of other issues. And one of the things that I want to talk about is I know that there's a lot of opposition from cities and counties that are concerned about the competition for dollars and the compression issue, and I'm well aware of that and understand their concern. But I think what's more important is that the citizens have the right to create these districts and have the opportunities for their children. And you'll hear that, you know, all the cities and counties are opposed to it, but you have on OLIS, and if you would look at it, there's an organization called Washington County Kids, which is really the group that is endorsing and pushing this bill. And if you look at that list of endorsers, you'll find many city councilors. You'll find mayors of the three or four major cities in Washington County who are signed on, and school districts. Let me tell you a few. Kyle Allen, Hillsborough City Councilor. Olivia O'Claire, Hillsborough City Councilor. Lisa Allen, Hillsborough School Board. Suzanne Bonamici, you all know who that is. Then we have Steve Calloway, Hillsborough Mayor. Frank Bubank, Tualatin City Councilor. Ann Byron, member of Beaverton School Board. Denny Doyle, Beaverton Mayor. Margaret Doherty, Joe Gallegos, Mitch Greenlick. We have Dana Hepner, the advocacy chair for Stanford Children. Bob Herman, district attorney, Washington County. And the list goes on and on. We have the Boys and Girls Club of the City of Beaverton, the City of Cornelius, Main Street Alliance, Stanford Children, Washington County Citizens Action Network. These are all endorsers of the coalition that's putting this bill forward. It's a tool, and it's a difficult tool to use, actually. It requires a very dedicated group of people to be able to even form a district. Requirement for 15% of the registered voters in the proposed district is a huge thing to try to achieve, and it's, as I say, it's going to take a lot of dedicated citizens to get that done, and that's just to get on the ballot. So, Mr. Chair, members, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Riley. I'm looking at the list of people to testify, and I suspect that Senator Riley is the best to answer technical questions as well as other substantive questions.
I'll take one stand.
I think Representative Johnson was ahead of you.
I'll defer to my... I'll defer to you,
Representative Nose. Representative Nose?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Johnson. Senator Riley, could you explain why this couldn't be done with, say, just doing it through a school levy or some other kind of levy through some other district that currently exists, right, as opposed to creating a new taxing authority?
So that's an interesting question, because the answer is it could be, but it isn't.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator, for bringing this forward. So as I read the bill, children's defined as anyone that's less than 18 years old, right? So chronologically, then we could be birth to 18, defining children. And services are children's total health and well-being. So it's health. It could be education. It could be a wide variety of things, right? So it's not really...
It could be anything except education.
Anything except education. Okay. Well, I guess I am concerned a little bit about just the... It's hard. I guess it would be hard for me to allow for or support a portion of a tax base going to a program that might be not targeted towards specific outcomes, I guess. And yes, we might be able to devote some dollars or some financial resources towards a specific, you know, try to benefit, you know, a part of the population. I get it. I think we all support kids. But it's hard for me to know how we would judge the success or measure the success of a program like this. Do you have any ideas what kind of outcomes things you're looking for? How do we know whether a program like this would be successful or not?
Well, there are measurements, and those measurements, of course, take time. They're over time, and what you can look at is what kind of success we have at keeping those at risk, especially the at risk kids, occupied, and how they move through society after this. There's a lot of studies nationwide that show that kids who are active in out-of-school time programs succeed in life much better. There's some very longitudinal studies following children from the time they get into school until they're out working or not in the community, and the results are very clear that those kids who have these kinds of opportunities are very successful and cost us a whole lot less money in the long run because they are successful, are contributing to society, and not in jail.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So I guess my other concern would be, as we, you know, we've got a limited amount of tax base available for special districts and so forth. And in my school district, we've got a local option levy. We're fortunate to be able to have one of those.
Right.
But if we were having to compete with another special district for that, I mean, that local option to us is about 25 teachers a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. If we didn't have that, we would...
I support them all the time.
So I guess the question the community has to make, is it classroom teachers or is it other services? And that's...
And you actually hit on the exact point. That's the community who has to decide. And all we're doing is giving them the opportunity to make that decision. It is the community who gets to decide. It's not the elected officials who sit in, and it's not the associations who make that decision. It's the community, and that's what we're giving them the opportunity to do. And I thank you for making that point.
Okay.
Thanks. Representative Marsh?
Thank you, Treasurer. In reference to Rep. Nuss's question a few minutes ago as to why aren't other entities doing this, I would assume that part of the answer to that is mission, whether the service is within their mission. But secondly, if they're public entities, I would assume that they are often at the maximum of their taxing authority.
Yeah. Public entities in general, this, as you point out, this is not their mission, and there is no special district or entity of any kind, except in the city of Portland, who has this mission. The city of Portland has it and has had it for quite some time, but no one else is allowed to have this in the state without the county commissioners setting it up all by themselves. And they tend not to do that. They haven't done it so far. This is just a way to give the citizens the opportunity to do this. And it's true. Representative Nose was on point. There are other districts who could do this if it was in their mission and they wanted to do it, but there are none who are doing it.
Well, now that's in your area, isn't that
correct?
Right? Okay, I mean, I'm much more familiar with the Willamette Lane Parks and Recreation District in Springfield, that your colleague Senator Byers, a board member of, and has been for a long time. They provide a lot of services for kids that
at
are very much the kind you're talking about, I think.
At a price, yes. And one of the things that that we want to achieve with this district is to get those kids who can't afford to do that. And yes, the most parks and recs districts provide some of these services, but they almost all charge. They do have sometimes scholarships, and that's a good thing. But the answer is, you know, they're not widely advertised because they don't have space. And in fact, a lot of families won't take those scholarships because of pride.
Okay. The other question I had was, offline you've talked with me about setting up a district like this, in the unincorporated parts of Washington County.
Mm-hmm.
What is the situation around the tax compression?
I have a call into the assessor right now, and at Representative Marsh's request, and I think that was a good move. But I didn't have enough time to get the response back for this meeting. My sense is that there is some gap. I don't know for sure, and I don't know how big if it is. But the point is not whether or not this is would cause some compression, because you know we approved districts without asking this question quite often. In fact, just last session we created a sand removal district, and this never came up.
Well, it has come up this year. That's
yes.
Why we ask. Right. Other questions for Senator Riley? All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony.
You bet. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members.
Who did? From who? Okay. I'll figure it out. All right. Robert Bailey? Is it RAS? Did you want to speak? Did you want to touch on? No? Okay.
What do you do?
Oh, there he is. Oh, Representative
Malmstrom
does want to.
Well, please come forward then. We'll take the people on the list later. You seem so hesitant that I wasn't
sure. What you're looking at.
Yeah. We'll take her first, and then we'll call a panel that will include you, Mr. Bailey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Barnhart. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sherry Malmstrom. I'm the state representative from House District 27, representing Beaverton and Southwest Portland, almost all of which is in Washington County. I'm here today to provide testimony in support of Senate Bill 123, which would authorize the creation of a children's special district. As a public health nurse for over 30 years and a former member of the Washington County Commission for Children and Families for a number of years, I have seen firsthand the social benefit of after-school programs in our communities and how to access those opportunities positively and how they impact the lives of parents and their children and young students. When the commission, system broke apart and changed, much of the programs in Washington County that were after school and young school-age children sort of ceased to exist. Having myself raised three young children as a single widowed mother, I can really testify about the importance of these programs. In the county that I live in, Washington County, we're sort of in between the urban city and not rural, and things, are just different there. And these programs made a really big impact on the lives of children from all different income and socioeconomic and racial backgrounds. As an elected official, I support Senate Bill 123 because it empowers our local communities to make decisions based on targeted investments in their neighborhoods that meet their specific needs. As Senator Riley testified, we have a huge amount of different groups that would like to be able to coordinate these things as they see the need. We know that the needs of rural communities, and urban ones differ, but they all provide opportunities for community leaders to make decisions that will strengthen their own local ties. Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I urge you to join me in supporting Senate Bill 123. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Representative Malmstrom? Thank you. We appreciate your testimony.
Sure. Thanks.
Thanks. And in addition to Mr. Bailey, it looks like Ross.
Ross,
maybe. Yes. Unfortunately, their name is written so illegibly that I have a hard time reading it. So you'll forgive me.
Don Darrow. Okay.
Don Darrow.
That's how I was going to pronounce it.
Okay.
All right.
Elizabeth Kushwa.
I apologize for my terrible writing.
Well,
okay. I'm a retired college professor. Still.
Oh well, you're excused. Yes. Please, whoever would like to go first, state your name for the record and then give your testimony.
Go ahead.
You bet. I'm Robert Bailey of Hillsboro, Oregon. I appear before you today speaking for myself as well as Washington County Kids the organization that Senator Riley referenced. I'm one of its endorsers. I've been a social worker in my career, working in child protection, juvenile justice, children's mental health, support services for children with disabilities, and I'm a strong advocate of Goal 1 of Senate Bill 100, which is the citizen participation in land use. As a social worker, I would posit that this gives you the opportunity to create a citizen participation in local children's services and allow communities to vote and participate on having those programs back in their community once the Commission on Children and Families vacated. I also was a commission member on our Commission on Children and Families. I was also administrator of a private nonprofit program that contracted with the commission for programs. So I've seen it from both sides. Those programs and funds can be vital. They don't pay for everything in total. Oftentimes, a smart county or a smart special district would encourage or even require the leveraging of outside funds. They would want to see partnerships, and for Representative Nosey's concern about where the school districts are, the commission in Washington County frequently stimulated the creation of school program partnerships using facility after school hours, being one example, teen parent program collaboration another. So there was a lot of mileage that was potentiated with the use of small dollars. Some may ask why Washington County is the font of this kind of advocacy. You know, we're doing well. We have one of the wealthier per capita populations. Yet and still, Washington County has one of the lowest per capita contributions to human services of the metro counties and often other counties across the state. There's been a prevailing philosophy in the last 20 years of no funding stream, no service. And if you give us a funding stream, we'll pass it through, but don't ask us for anything. And that has, with the absence of the commission dollars, that's atrophied some of the programs that have been vital to support. And allowing people to choose, and my understanding is that in Washington County, the poll that was taken to test this ran at about 57%. Yet and still, the Board of County Commissioners are wary about the competition factor. However, when it gets into transportation and they do another poll and they get numbers like 57%, they get real excited, like the voters are behind us. You know, it's really time to allow voters to get behind what they care about a lot, and that's children, youth, and family. And they want to make a difference, and this is a way for them to contribute not only financially, but making a difference into the lives of their community. And in my estimation, there's a lot of infrastructure spending in Washington County taking place, and that's fine. We're readying ourselves for the increase in population, transportation, gridlock, and so forth. But there is no focus on preparing for the human infrastructure of our young children and families. And I know that even though people moving into, you know, Tawny communities come, they leave behind networks, support systems, extended family, and they can fall into at risk with juvenile department and other agencies if left disconnected, don't have outside pursuits from school. So these programs can really fill that void, the after school hours and new arrivals.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Kushwa. I'm the strategic director with Children First for Oregon and with United for Kids. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 123 with the amendments. Seven of our United for Kids partners are endorsers of this idea, and we do appreciate Senator Riley and the proponents of the bill working with our other partners who were not initially in support of the bill to mitigate any loss from the actual school funding in each of the districts, and importing that it's important that it is a permissive bill. We understand the importance of stemming summer learning loss and after-school programs, especially for populations who are low income. And so this is, again, just not going to be taking away, but adding to in a permissive way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yes. Excuse me. My name is Russ Dondero. I live in Forest Grove, Oregon. I've been before this body and others many times before.
Yes.
And I am a member of WCCAN, Washington County Citizens Action Network. But I'm really here to supplement what I already submitted in my original testimony, and that's on reflection of the experience of my 7-year-old granddaughter, who has the fortune to live in Southwest Portland, which has a very robust community center network, not one or two, but several of them in Southwest, near the Highland area, as well as another one on the east side where her father lives. Her parents are separated, so it's very important for her to be able to access both preschool and after-school programs, and she has, and she's blossomed because of it. So I've seen the benefit to her and the joy that she has when she is a participant in these programs, both before she went to kindergarten and first grade and after-school activities. So I just want to say, as a grandparent, I see the tremendous opportunity here for underserved students and children, particularly in Forest Grove where I live, where we have a huge poverty population, and we also have over 50% of our school district students are Hispanic and of low-income families, often having free or slightly subsidized lunches. So we have a tremendous need for these kinds of programs in Forest Grove. And so I just would like to see the benefits accrue to children in our area that accrue to children in my granddaughter's area of residence.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you. Just briefly. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you all for testifying. And I just wanted to particularly thank you for your call out of summer learning, which, as you know, is a great passion of mine. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Cindy Robert, Mark Landauer, Nell Johnson, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Recreation and Park Association. We're a 104-member organization. We have 62 park and rec districts, agencies, 8 nonprofits, and 34 commercial members. ORPA has provided 60 years of service to recreation professionals in Oregon. Of our members, 15 are actually special districts, and 29 are municipal agencies, so cities. All of those are funded through property taxes. I do not need to explain to any of you the compression problems that we're having in the state. And we truly believe that unless we make the pie bigger, we shouldn't be giving away more slices. Furthermore, the 15 actual special districts that we have and the cities that run these departments use tax funds already collected from taxpayers to do exactly what the new children's special districts would do. So it seems to us like it's a double taxation. According to Senate Bill 123, children's services means services provided outside of school hours related to education, civics, culture, arts, and music, physical recreation, health, well-being, technical skills and different development skills. So the reasoning behind the bill is really noble. We agree with it 100%. But the fact is, I want to share with you how your districts are already doing all this work already. If there's something we need to talk about to change the financing, to make it so more people can go, to lessen the costs of these services, that's certainly a conversation we'd be willing to have. But the duplicity of having a children's district to do what you already have being done in your district is off base. Mr. Chair, you actually already mentioned Willamma Lane Park and Rec District. It is a special district, so it does have its own tax base. And there's many children's programs there. And what's interesting about Willamma Lane is they actually divide that into three age categories. So there's birth to kindergarten, kindergarten to fifth grade, and grades 6 through 12. So they specify activities for each of those groups of children, all the way from athletic camps to theater and arts and martial arts and cultural activities, including Capitol tours. I'm sure you're part of those. So Willamma Lane also has a youth center that offers a venue for cooking, reading, book reports, culture, homework, gaming centers, and shuttle buses to take those kids home. So those kind of after-school programs in your district are really done already. Vice Chair Smith Warner and Representative Nose, in your district, obviously Portland Parks and Rec offers kids parks, pools, hiking, activities after school and all summer, arts and crafts. There's a new program there called Celebrate USA that really is just social, allowing kids after school and in the summer to go and just be with other kids. Those things don't cost money, folks. I think there's a $50 a summer pass at one of the Willamma Lane, I believe, just to go there and do whatever you want all summer. And yes, if there's scholarships available and those make people uncomfortable, we should in fact figure out a way to make those available in a way that is not uncomfortable for folks so that more people use them. Representative Marsh, in your district, as you know, the city of Ashland controls the park and recreation programs. Kids programs are wide ranging from creative and artistics to sports, fitness, science, nature, gardening, pet care, and training programs. And interestingly, you actually have a great program for after school and during summer breaks that mirror very much what Senate Bill 123 does. And transportation is one of the additional areas that your city is looking at trying to help provide. Representative Bueller left, so I'm not going to tell him what's going on in his district. And Representative Johnson, thank you.
Go ahead, I'm here.
In your district, the Hood River Valley Parks and Rec district runs the Aquatic Center, the skate park, the disc golf center, very cool, by the way, and outdoor venues and activities. The mission of your district actually is focused on youth. So you're even a step beyond, a little bit closer to what Senate Bill 123 purports to do. You do after-school programs and summer camps, all the way from sports to reading. You currently have a program called Golden Eagle Park Project underway that will increase the options for youth and highlight some new tennis courts, soccer fields, pickleball courts, and some multipurpose trails with signage, picnic shelters, and recreation centers for the areas where kids aren't areas of your community where kids aren't currently able to walk to those services. So we're getting it so that more and more kids can do this. So you may surmise that because this legislation is permissive, that it's okay. But you know, how hard was it for me to come up here today and talk like against children? Same thing when you go to ballot measure. Who wants to vote against children? Nobody. And who has the resources to go and tell each citizen these certain programs that are already available in your district? We don't have those resources. We'd love to spend our time trying to figure out how to make more kids able to use these programs, make them cheaper, and make scholarships more available. That's what we'd like to do. And if a ballot comes forth, it'd be very difficult for us to argue against it, but we're also very concerned about the fact that the money is being used two times for the same thing. So I urge you to consider what's going on in your own district, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Gentlemen.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Nels Johnson. I'm appearing here on behalf of the Metropolitan Mayors Consortium. The Metropolitan Mayors Consortium is a group of 25 mayors in the metro region that come together to speak with one voice on particular issues, and this happens to be one of them. I want to start by saying that Senator Riley ought to be commended for the work that he's doing on children. He's asking the right question, which is namely, how do we provide additional services for our most vulnerable kids? That's absolutely the right question to ask. The problem is we think this is not the right solution. And in particular, because of the special district would levy its own tax rate. That rate would compress on our permanent district rates on a general government side of the equation, meaning the cities, counties, and other special districts would stand to lose significant revenue as a result. Were the services to be provided through a countywide levy instead of a district rate, the levy would compress first, meaning that it would not negatively impact the permanent district budgets. In the real world, this bill could lead to the loss of services for emergency services, parks, rec, economic development, police, and fire, and could end up with a net loss of services at the end of the day. And that's what we're most concerned about. So it's for those reasons that we are regrettably opposed to Senate Bill 123. Happy to take any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Our association represents approximately 950 districts across the state of Oregon, providing a wide range of services, including parks, libraries, and things of that nature. At the outset, I'd like to affiliate myself with Mr. Johnson's remarks. I really do agree with him that Senator Riley's question is correct, but again, the solution is problematic on a number of different levels. I'd also agree with him that using a levy rather than a permanent rate would be a far better approach to doing this, rather than potentially reducing existing critical services that our citizens have come to know and expect. Fire, police, park and rec, library, you name it. If you're in compression, those services will be reduced. Interestingly, there's in 2015 through 16, 97% of counties had properties in compression. 88% of schools had properties in compression. 59% of cities had properties in compression, and 51% of special districts had properties in compression. If 123 is passed in its current form, those properties that are in compression will result in fewer dollars going to the principal local governments that are already in existence. Senator Riley has also mentioned that we have a number of districts, and this is true. He specifically mentions sand-controlled districts. I will remind this committee that dealt with House Bill 3030 in the 2015 legislative session. Bayshore community in Lincoln County has suffered for many years of windblown sand to the extent that the sand piles up to the eaves of roofs of residential properties. There is not a single type of government authorized in the state of Oregon for the removal of sand. That is why House Bill 3030 was created. There was no compression in that community, and a permanent tax was authorized for that particular community. That is why House Bill 3030 was ultimately enacted. As Ms. Robert has mentioned, there are a number of government entities already providing the services that Senator Riley is trying to create under his bill. So again, the special districts opposes this legislation in its current form. We certainly commend the senator's attention to this very important issue, but again, the tool to fix this challenge is, in our belief, the incorrect one to be using. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Yeah, and I have a couple. Please, go ahead.
Okay, so I think I didn't understand something about our property tax system. If it's a countywide levy, that is exempt from the compression. Could you explain that nuance a little bit? Or
you described two different ways in which the taxation could be set up. And I think what you said was that one of them would compress first, and the other one would compress everything else. Could you say a bit more about those things? I think that's your question. That's certainly my question.
Better phrase than the way I did.
Yes. Do you want me to go? I'll take a shot at it, and I'm sure committee staff will correct me if my understanding is incorrect. A permanent tax rate would compress across all local government with the 10% cap,
okay.
Correct?
Okay. All right.
If you do a special levy, so, for example, in the city of Portland, Portland has a children's special levy.
Yes.
In that case, that levy was adopted by the citizens of the city. that levy gets compressed first before any permanent rate would be compressed. So if you authorize a levy for $20 million, you have properties in compression in that area for which the levy is going to apply. The special levy gets compressed rather than the permanent rates that are already in existence for the existing local governments. Okay. I hope I've explained that correctly.
Yeah. You got a head nod from staff. Thank you. And I think what you've said also is that this bill would establish a permanent rate.
That is correct.
The way the bills are written.
That is correct.
Okay. I looked through the language for the words permanent rate, and I didn't find them. But I will ask staff later about how that is in the bill. Thank you so much. We appreciate your testimony. Wendy Johnson and Gil Riddell, please. And colleagues, I'm going to endeavor to get you out of here before 3 o'clock. I know we have a lot of other things going, and the House will reconvene at 4.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Wendy Johnson here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. The League of Oregon Cities also opposes this bill for many of the same reasons as my colleagues beforehand. I want to touch again on the permanent rate issue. With a children's district, the way it's described, and this happens with any special district, when you form it, you get to choose the bounds of the district. So this could be one county, this could be two counties, could be parts of a county. The special district would draw those lines. So Representative Nose knows this issue from the change property ratio bill. If it covers all of Multnomah County, we're going to have different effects on different cities within the same county. But when you form a district, you set a permanent rate. Everybody else had their permanent rate set in 1995. It was totally arbitrary at the time because when the voters passed it, it was just frozen. So some of our cities, some of our counties, special districts have low permanent rates and some of them have high permanent rates. When this district would be formed, they get to set the rate what they want. They would have to show their budget and what their plans are, but they get to set that permanent rate. Everybody else has stuck with those 1995 permanent rates and then they have to supplement it with local option levies. But since this district is with a new permanent rate, that permanent rate is first, you know, all the permanent rates are, and then local options would be compressed first. So that's our big fear, is there's no limit on what the permanent rates would be for this type of new district. And since it's duplicative of services that our cities, counties, and special districts can already provide, it's a serious threat to competition because they get to set this permanent rate decades, you know, later. So that's our biggest concern. Again, we applaud the concern. We have the same concerns with city services and as well as school services. We think the solution is comprehensive property tax reform. The Measure 50 permanent rate problems that are arbitrary and the Measure 5 limits that we've long passed, that's the real problem here and why we have this situation. And so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. You've heard this issue, but that's the real...
And to Senator Riley. He's nodding his head behind you.
That's the real solution. We would rather spend our time and money on addressing that issue than rather than fighting this fight here today. The existing system, you heard from, you heard about all the programs that are already being provided. Those are being provided in the existing system. And so, unfortunately, the voters of Washington County haven't persuaded their Washington County commissioners to do this, but that's the local control problem there and or how they're choosing to make their decisions. We think they need to go back to that body and work it out. The system we have is not broken on that score. It's the whole property tax system. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Riddell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I can't top the previous comments of the opponents of Senate Bill 123. I join them, ALC joins them in opposing the bill, but I do want to raise one point that hasn't been highlighted yet. district levies and services must be properly categorized under Measure 5 as either education or local government. And the attempt in the bill to wash it clean of education, I think, is in dispute. There's still going to be levies and programs which will cross the line. And the Supreme Court, Oregon Supreme Court, has said if that's the case, you've got to separate so that each is in the proper category. This bill directs an expensive remedy to determine that, litigation. And it seems to us that litigants who will be spending public funds in court instead of providing essential services is really the wrong way to go.
Thank you.
Chair Barnhart,
please, go ahead.
I just wanted to add one thing just to correct the record. Mr. Landauer noted 10%. It's actually only 1%. The $10 limit is 1%, so I didn't want that to be known to the public. Dollar
is $10
per thousand. $10
per thousand,
which is 1%.
Which is 1%.
And yes. $5 per thousand for schools, which is 0.5%. So the total max is 1.5%. And just as another aside, because of my pitch for property tax reform, if we raise that $5 just from schools to 6, your own legislative revenue office staff has shown that that would raise over $400 million a fiscal year. So that's the kind of change that could happen with property tax reform.
Ah, back to the other topic.
Yes.
You can't resist.
Can't resist.
Thank you. Any questions? Any other questions? Thank you very much. We very much appreciate your testimony. Colleagues, with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1. Just a moment.
A quick question. I thought I heard one of our panelists mention something about amendments. Are there any other amendments other than what's been posted on OLIS that you're aware of?
There are amendments being considered for drafting.
Okay.
I note also the lack of a quorum for a work session anyway, so I can't open a work session. So we're going to close the public hearing on the Senate Bill 123, and colleagues, obviously no work sessions today because we do not have a quorum for work to work. I will simply note that none of the things that are scheduled for work session are ready today. So be prepared for a repost if and when they become ready. But assume that you're keeping open the regular meeting time for this committee, although some of those meetings at this point probably will not happen. The next time I'm aware that this group is meeting is tomorrow at 1 o'clock with the Senate members for the joint tax credit committee. Have I got that? I think that's right. All right. Thank you all so much. Committee is adjourned.